Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 34, our hosts, Mitch Glenn and Brad Weekman, interview Sam Rayburn Reservoir Fishing Guides Brian Branham and Corbett Ross. Branham and Ross guide for bass on one of the hottest bass reservoirs in the United States, in addition to Ross also guiding for crappie. Both have bass tournament success plus years of experience fishing Sam Rayburn Reservoir. Tackle Time features Pico Lures trolling weights. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Weekman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, along with your co-host, Mitch Glenn. Mitch, oh, wait a second. Mitch did not make the road trip down to Sam Rayburn. He had to stay home and make more lures. So anyway, I'm lucky enough to be here with two of my friends, Brian Branham. Take a bow.
Hello.
Hello. Bow. And Corbett Ross.
How you doing?
There we go. These are two guides. We're actually going to talk to them about fishing on Sam Rayburn Lake. They're going to break it down through the seasons so we know a little bit about what happens here on this lake. We want to find out why there is such big fish here and what causes that. And we want to know about your guide service. So we're going to start because this is a hot lake. Sam Rayburn is a really hot lake right now. Brian, tell us about the lake and how long you have been guiding.
I've been guiding since college, and I'm 56 years old, so that's quite a while. Far as full-time here on Sam Rayburn, 3 or 4 years full-time, nothing else, and 10 or 15 while doing a three-day work week, basically for the Corps of Engineers in the county down at the Humphrey Pavilion.
Yep. And so how does Corbett figure into this?
Well, that's a good question. We met before, but I drew him in a tournament probably 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was an FLW Railback here on Rayburn.
Yeah, that was in 14. He was my co-angler, and when he got in my boat, I asked him, "How you doing in the tournament?" And he said, "Well, I'm leading." That always puts a little pressure on.
Yeah.
You know, it should. You know, he was in first place, and I was middle of the pack. I was in good shape on the angler side, but I wasn't leading or top 10. But anyway, believe it or not, I took him straight to catch five so he wouldn't have to worry about having fish for the day. I know that's kind of weak of an angler, but that's what I did.
That's pretty nice. So
it was very nice. Brian took me to a spot, and I got my five and ended up dropping back to second place going into the last day and ended up finishing second in that Railback tournament. The day I fished with Brian, I think he caught an 8-pounder.
Yeah, I feel like that the natural chain of events, the God thing, kind of happened. My very last cast of that day, I caught a near 8-pound bass on a a trick worm, just long enough to throw it in the live well with the hook still in it and get him to take care of that while we hauled away in. So
it was a very good tournament.
We became really close friends, and over time, I've worked for some other guides and still do. We you know, trade trips around and help each other when we're booked and so forth. In general, that goes on in the guide business. But Corbett became a trusted friend and close alliance somewhere along the way. We just formed up as a partnership. So when I'm busy, Corbett takes them. When he can't make it, I take his, and we share the load and help each other find fish, which is a constant ongoing endeavor as a fishing guide. And Corbett has some other things that is nice that are nice to have, and one of them is a rent house here on the lake that houses up to 8 people and has a ramp right there close, and we can take, I'd say we're capable of taking up to 6 boats. If we need to take a party of 12, we can put that together pretty easily.
It's pretty
good. All licensed insured guides, and put them all up if we have to, and feed them, whatever.
Right. So this is a year-round guide service?
Yes. No question. It's all I do. No hunting, nothing.
Absolutely. So do you guide just for bass?
That's a good question, too. In the past, I've only guided for bass. Corbett is taking crappie trips. I am going to take a few this year during the pre-spawn of crappie fishing because just been catching so many of them while bass guiding the last few years, and I'm really enjoying it and kind of have taken it up myself. We all like to eat crappie, and I've really gotten to where I really like to catch them as well. So when they're still in shallow water, I'm going to take a few trips.
And Corbett, you tell us about crappie fishing. How many people do you normally take when you go out crappie fishing?
2, you know what? I'm just doing the crappie trips out of a bass boat. So safely I can carry 2 people with seats and keep everyone comfortable. So, you know, Brian and I, we can team up and we can each take 2 and take a party of 4 and fish relatively close and keep everyone comfortable. That seems to work real good. We've got a plan where we can fish together and stay close during the day, and we'll take the group to a local restaurant for lunch, and it works out real good and keeps all the customers happy.
Oh, there you go. So tell us, what's a typical day? Do you start real early, or do you start midday? Or knowing you guys, do you take a siesta? Like, I like to take a nap. Like, about 1 o'clock, I'm like, hey, I'm the boss. I'm taking a nap. Would that work? Would I be a good customer?
Yeah, well, you know, customers always right to a certain extent. if someone wants to go in and sleep part of their day, I guess that'd be all right. I think it'd be a first, Brad. We do eat lunch sometimes. I've had several go to sleep in the boat, I mean, while their partner's still fishing.
So half-day trips, full-day trips, how does that break out?
We do both.
And how many hours for a full day? Because you don't go a full day.
I try not to put an exact hour on it, but, right. You know, a general guide for thinking about fishing, you know, if you're launching at, say, 6 o'clock, sun up, a half-day trip's going to be over around 11, 11:30. And on into the afternoon, 4-day, full-day trips, 3, 4 o'clock, you know, something like that is going to be a late day. I've had a few run over that if the fishing's really good, or even if the fishing's not been that good and the customer wants to stay out a little bit longer. We kind of take it one at a time, weather included. You know, if weather interrupts a day by a couple hours, we'll stay out a little later. It's not hard and fast.
So, Corbett, what do you guys furnish? So when someone shows up, do they need their tackle? I mean, they need a rain suit, or what do they need?
We can furnish tackle. We do that a lot. We have a lot of customers that maybe fly in or drive in a small car and can't bring their own gear, and we'll furnish all their tackle. I keep, and Brian as well, we'll keep spare rain gear in the boat just in case someone shows up without rain gear. We usually furnish bottled water and ice. Customer can bring anything else they want to eat or drink during the day. And on request, we can furnish just about anything they need for the day.
So, let's kind of run through the season so that if someone was looking to come at a certain season, you know, what might they expect? So we'll start with Brian. Tell us, the spring. Is the spring insane on Sam Rayburn? What can they expect?
I think it's crazy about anywhere that is a good lake. But, you know, spring really starts to me. It's hard to say winter from spring. January and February are traditionally great fishing here. It's not great weather always, but it's very, very good fishing. And it somehow leads into spring in late February. A little bit different every year, driven by water, water temperature, and we have a tremendous variation in weather from year to year. So spring fishing, flat out bass spawning, that is a very, very well documented moving target here. I mean, it can be a month range, but when that's going on, it's pretty nutty here. It's hard to go wrong. I mean, and during the height of the spawn, the lake is crowded. Fish can be caught in a variety of ways, but it really pays to know what's going on, kind of the micro patterns and where the better fish are, and you know, when to move and when to stay close by, and know what's been going on in the last few days. Like sometimes, you know, you can leave a spot and you already know that the fish are better, say, at 10 a.m. That happened a lot this last year.
Wow.
Had some very slow mornings, and then I tell them, get ready, and they're like, oh, whatever. And then, man, boom, it was crazy. You know, we had a late bite a lot of the spring. So, yeah, it's crazy around here, and a lot of things can be going on.
Yep. And so, Corbett, that moves us into summer. In a summer pattern, what would an angler kind of expect then if he was going on a guide trip for bass?
Well, you know, the transition between spring and summer, most years the fish will go about as deep as they're going to go through the year and then come back. So there's a time in that transition where the deep bite will get really good. Brian's an expert and has taught me a lot on deep water spoon fishing. And that will get good in that April-May time frame for a period of time when we can really get out there and drop a spoon and catch a lot of fish in a short period of time. And then you move on into the summer pattern, and we do a lot of, you know, middle depth to deeper brush pile type fishing with big worms. If the hydrilla is growing and grows out to a 7-8 foot of water, we'll fish hydrilla all during the summer. I did some of that today, matter of fact, and that fishing will be good as well.
All right. So, Brian, I feel like I'm giving you the softball. I give you, like, spring, and now I'm giving you fall. And poor Corbett's over here, and I get summer and winter, seriously. But tell us about the fall. How are you going to approach fishing with the customer so that they can maximize their time on the water and catch a number of fish?
As you know, I know that you've done some guide work, but we try to cater to the customers' experience and ability out there, and it depends sometimes on those things. But if the customer has fished a lot and is comfortable fishing just about any way we want, I would say that we're fishing square lip crankbaits most of the time during the late summer, early fall for the most results.
Uh-huh.
It's just a basic. Got to be careful with them. I got hooked with one real bad recently and all that good stuff. But that is a great bait on this lake, whether you're fishing hydrilla, traditional creek channel bends. Just extremely – It's a versatile bait here at that time of the year.
Uh-huh.
We do have certain days, depending on the weather, where topwater fishing would be even better, even all day long.
Uh-huh.
The lake's known for full day topwater. So the late summer, early fall fishing, to me, centers around topwaters and basically shallow running crankbaits for guide work. We do fish plastics. We do some other things. If someone comes to us and wants to fish a certain way or get better at a certain type of fishing, or if they want to learn electronics better and how that relates to the fishing in general, we'll focus more on that. But if it's just up to me and we're trying to catch as many fish as possible and have the best time, I'd say shallow running crankbaits like the MR6 from the Bill Lewis Company is a popular one here. The 1.5s of various types. Baits that run up to and including 8 feet, but baits that run as shallow as 2.
Right.
That's just a very productive way to fish during that time of year.
All right. So, Corbett, you get winter.
Well, you know, winter's hard to talk about here in East Texas. It just depends. Some year we'll get a very mild winter, you know, where the water temp won't really get out of the lower 60s or upper 50s. And the fishing will stay really good all winter, especially on years we have high drilling, and the fish will stay relatively shallow. And you can fish moving baits, rattle traps, the square bill crankbaits Brian's talking about, chatter baits, things like that. You can fish a moving bait all winter relatively shallow and be very successful. Then you have other years where, you know, we may have a little snow or it'll get real cold, get a real cold spell and drop the water temp down in the lower 50s or upper 40s. And fishing gets very tough then. You have to move out deeper and get on some ledges and maybe throw a real slow-moving football jig or Carolina rig and, you know, really grind it out. It gets real tough then. So it just depends on how Mother Nature treats us from year to year in the wintertime.
So size of fish. Are anglers that are coming here to fish, are they looking for numbers? Are they looking for a big fish, a fish of a lifetime?
You know, I tell people in general, and, you know, there might be some that disagree, but if you're really looking for a 10-pound double-digit fish, this lake is probably not your number one destination in Texas. I mean, there is a ton of fish that size here. They've been caught. Corbin and I both had over 11-pound fish in our boats last year.
Wow.
One in Corbett's and one in mine. And quite a few 7 to 8-pound fish, several personal bests for customers and so forth. But the number of fish over 10 pounds, it's just not known for that here. But it's a tremendous fishery with just huge, huge amounts of fish that are really solid and lots of fishing action. And you know, we had 50 and 100 fish days last year several times. So, you know, it's one of the few places that you can still feel comfortable that that's a possibility.
Right. And so, I mean, they're looking for that fish, but do you take tournament anglers out and kind of help them find places or kind of give them some ideas on fishing? Do you ever do that?
Absolutely. You know, I'll typically ask a customer when they caught a book what they want out of a trip. You know, some people are just wanting to catch fish. Maybe some people are wanting some experience with a certain make and model depth finder. Some people may just want some experience on running their boat. And others may be looking for tournament fish, anywhere from a major tournament coming up to a small club tournament that they're looking for some help to find fish for. So it just depends on the customer. I usually ask and try to cater to whatever their needs are.
Now, do you also, like, navigation is an issue here. Talk about water fluctuation, because I know right now the water level is low, but this spring it was super high. Is there a cycle going on? Or
I don't really think it's a cycle. It's so different all the time. And you can look at water data for Texas.org, and you can go back 10 years and look at the different water depths at different times. And I don't think it's really easy to make a pattern of when it's high, when it's low, but it is very important navigation here. You mentioned something about that. A lot of people think Rayburn's is wide open. You run wherever you want. It's not the case. We see people doing things that are very, very dangerous all the time. I mean, sometimes I can barely watch when I'm right. Watching people run in the lake. Just today, I gave someone a couple tips just so they wouldn't run where stumps are, you know, 4 inches under the water. That's kind of the way the lake is right now. It's a dangerous lake because the boat lanes are not really marked. And people are under the false assumption that if it's open looking that they're okay. And you really need to know a few things about the lake to run it.
Is there two river arms that feed this?
There's three, really. Oh. One's kind of a basin and then two major river arms.
And what are they?
Well, I guess maybe there's four, but Angelina, Toyac, Ash Bayou, Bear Creek, those are the main ones.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere halfway up those, any one of those creek arms or more halfway up, you know, that's only 20 miles in the Angelina and you're halfway up there. You really need to know exactly what you're doing when you're running a bass boat for a destination on the lake.
Yep. So, Corbett, talk a little bit about housing around here. So if someone's going to come down, go on a guide trip in this area, what are some of the options that they would have for lodging?
Well, like Brian mentioned earlier, I do have a rent house here on the lake. It's up on the Ash Bio end of the lake. It's in Lakewood Subdivision. There is a public boat ramp there in that addition that's available to anyone that stays there. There's also several hotels around here. Of course, there's a couple of hotels here on Highway 255, and I believe Rayburn Country has just opened back up under new ownership and has their hotel back up and running. So there's several options people have to stay here.
Tackle stores? Any tackle stores here?
Oh, there's plenty of tackle to be bought around the lake. I suggest that people kind of talk to us about such things before they come and you know, try to prepare as much as possible. But we do have good tackle selection here. Tackle Addict, Need More Tackle. And there's several other smaller tackle stores that are a considerable distance from here that I don't know that much about. The lake is 50 miles long.
Right.
And if you get in a bind for tackle, you can get it here. And there's a really good selection of tackle around on this lake.
So have to ask, there's some place called the Stump, and I've been there before, and it's a mystical place. Mm-hmm. You kind of walk through it, and it's like you walk through this fog, and you're like, oh my, where did I just land? I landed in Bass Heaven. Mm-hmm. That's what Bass Heaven would be. It'd be a bunch of booths where there is the jerseys are all lined up, and everyone sitting in the booth is like Rick Klun, mm-hmm, or Hank Parker, or someone like the famous people that, mm-hmm, would be out there. Tell us about the Stump.
It's just an iconic place. Been here a long time. Got jerseys in glass frames all over the whole place signed. And it'd be hard to name someone known well in fishing that their jersey's not in there.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. Mm-hmm. So
it really is. A lot of mounted fish, lots to be seen. It's real. I'd call it true East Texas, you know, place to eat.
Any place that they need to stop if they come down to Sam Rayburn.
I think the highly overlooked destination for people who come here is the East Texas Fish Hatchery.
Yep.
It's located below the dam, and they have tours Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock and Fridays, I think, after the noon hour. And it's the most advanced fish hatchery in the United States, I'm told, and certainly the largest in Texas. So if you're out down here and you don't at least drive down there and take a look at what we got down there, you can't see it from the road at all. But when it comes into view, you know that's where you know something a little bit out of the ordinary. There's 37 big ponds and a building that's acres enclosed down there. So
pretty cool.
It's very interesting what they do there.
So if they wanted to get in contact with either one of you, how would they get in contact with you?
Well, I have BrianBranhamFishing.com website. And then Brian@BrianBranhamFishing.com email. My phone number is 409-698-6075. I can't tell you what Corbett's phone number is. What is it, Corbett?
My number is 409-853-2707, and you can also look me up on Facebook.
There you go.
All right, Facebook at?
Corbett Ross.
There you go.
And I'm Facebook at Brian Branham and Instagram at Brian Branham Fishing.
Look at that. He's still spitting stuff out. Like, and my mother's maiden name is...
Hey, call Brad.
Oh,
I've known Brad for 20, going on 25 years, I think, and he'll get you in touch with me.
If you call me for Brian's phone number, I will give it to you. I promise you, and you'll get service with a smile. So, favorite story about Brian, and we have a minute to tell.
Okay, go ahead.
We used to go and fish these tournaments. So we were in my father-in-law's RV, and we're coming back from a tournament. It's late. You know, I don't remember everything. I don't remember if we got the money or whatever, but we're just coming back from this FLW tournament, and we're going, and I guess I was driving too slow because, you know, we were trying to hustle home, and Brian says, you know, I'm going to get out and I'm going to jog. Like, I'm going to jog up a mile or two, you know, just to wake up and stuff. And every time I envision, you know, after being up at 4 a.m. and it's probably 11 at night and we're driving, it's after the tournament, and Brian looking at me and, mm-hmm, that serious face like, I'm going to get out and do it.
That was several surgeries ago. I'm not running anywhere at this point. I'm going to go in my Phoenix.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Brian Corbett, make sure you check him out. If you have any questions, you can call me or you can call them. And we'll put their phone numbers. We'll link that to the show right there. So, Brian Corbett, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, it's time for Tackle Time. And this week's Tackle Time, we're going to introduce you to a brand new product from Pico Lures. Coming out this year, coming out right now, as a matter of fact, we have got trolling weights. Now, I don't mean just a few trolling weights. We got those big 3-ounce, 2-ounce weights for pushing your crankbaits. We got the 1.5 ounce for power trolling your plastic baits. We got your 1 ounce and your 3/4 ounce and your 1/2 ounce. All these weights, you've got swivels on both ends of them. You can put them in line to do some super deep trolling. You can spider rig with them. You can push your crankbaits with them. Pico trolling weights are made by a fisherman that pushes, pulls, does everything there is to do with the weight. We know what we're doing. We've taken advice from all you fishermen. We built these things to last and built them on purpose. Give them a try. Pico trolling weights.
That's right. And we've caught a bunch of crappie on using them and the INT crankbaits and also the square bills.
That's right, man. Using the weight puts your bait right where you want it to be. You're not at the mercy anymore of the conditions or what your line size is. You can, you just gives you more control over what you're doing. Put it in line, put it straight down, put it on a dropper. Heck, drag that biggin' on the bottom with a crankbait behind it and catch you some walleye, man. You know what that's all about, Brad.
That's right. That's what we've been doing.
Hey. I know. I hate to let your secret out of the bag there, buddy, but you know what?
Well, thanks a lot. Let's keep them off my lake. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe, rate our show. You know,
tell us what you want to hear about.
Absolutely. For Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.